To continue in our series, Exceed. Don't just meet your spouse's needs, exceed them. And we're actually getting back into it because last Sunday we took kind of a week off, really focusing on the missions. Now back into this study, focusing on these thoughts. And today talking about how to exceed her need for honesty and openness. For honesty and openness. A young lady was soaking up the sun at a Florida beach, and a little boy walked up in his swim trunks and walked over to her, and he said, "Ma'am, do you believe in God?" She was a little surprised by the question, but she replied, "Well, yes, yes, son, I do." And then he said, "Well, do you go to church every Sunday?" And still kind of inquisitive as to what this was all about, she said, "Well, yes, yes, I do." And he said, "Well, do you read your Bible and pray every day?" And she said, "Yes." And now her curiosity is running wild. Why is he asking these questions? And finally, the little boy kind of sighed a sigh of relief and said, "Okay, then. Well, will you hold my quarter while I go swimming?" And he wanted to make sure that this was going to be a trustworthy person. And you know, when we enter into the covenant relationship of marriage, when we stand at that altar and we say, "I do," there is an assumption that we know this person well enough and we believe for them to be a trustworthy person. We're going to talk today about the need of honesty and openness in the marriage relationship. Now the Bible says in Song of Solomon chapter 2 verse 10, "My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up my love, my fair one, and come away." And there are many wives who would love for their husbands just to begin speaking. And we've already talked about the need for intimate conversation. That was the last need of hers that we studied. But today we're going to go a little deeper, talking about the honesty and the openness. And that's why I want us to look at Malachi chapter 2, because in this chapter, God is talking about his displeasure of divorce. He's talking about his level of expectation for marriage. And in verse 15, God says, "And did not he make one? Yet he had the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed." Now look at this. "Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth." God is saying, listen, I don't want marriages ending in failure. And one of the ways they're going to stay together and they're going to stay strong is if the husband is committed, I'm not going to deal treacherously with the wife of my youth. I'm going to care for this bride that God has blessed me with, and I'm going to love and do all that I can and care for her. That's God's expectation of us in the marriage relationship, and we want to fulfill that. And one of the ways we're going to do that is exceeding in meeting her need for honesty and openness. The Bible says in Leviticus 19:11, "Ye shall not steal, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another." That has no place in our lives and certainly our marriages. Now, trust is the foundation of any meaningful relationship. It's a bedrock. You have to have trust. And a wife must be able to totally trust her husband. And for the husband to accomplish that level of trust, he must be totally open and honest with his wife. And God will help us do that, but we've got to be committed to it. The Bible says in Colossians 3:9, "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." In other words, that may have been part of the fabric of the relationship at some point, but it should not be as Christians. Because as Christians, we should be people speaking the truth in love. So the idea of lying or dishonesty or deceit, that should be of the past. And now there should be communication that is right. So how do we exceed in meeting this needs? And let's dive into our study this morning. Number one, by looking at the esteem of honesty and openness. The esteem of honesty and openness. Now, there are three very important reasons why honesty and openness are essential for a strong marriage. And I want us to look at those. First of all, letter A, because they provide a clear roadmap for marital adjustment. Now, the Bible says in Proverbs 11:3, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them." What guides them? The Bible says the integrity of the upright. There's something about integrity and honesty that guides in the relationship. And when we are honest and when we are open, it's helping to provide a roadmap for marital adjustment. What it allows is it creates an environment where we can identify problems and deal with them quickly. Let's talk this morning honestly. The difference oftentimes between a good marriage and a bad marriage is their ability to discern problems. A bad marriage, they don't get on the radar until they're really big. And now they're a whopper. And they take a knockdown drag out in a few days, and then we start to heal. But a good marriage deals with the same problems. They just deal with them much sooner. Because they discern the same problems when they're much smaller. And one of the reasons good marriages are able to do that is because they have an environment of openness and honesty. And because that's the culture they've created in their relationship, there's a clear roadmap for marital adjustment. Oh, hey, this could create a problem, and they quickly can adjust to prevent a major issue in their relationship. They know how to work through things together. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love. God wants us to have that ability in our marriage. It's been said that a lack of transparency covers up both the problems themselves and the solutions to those problems. Sometimes we think, well, we don't want to be transparent because if we were transparent with our spouse, they would know all this stuff. Now, the truth of the matter is they probably know it anyway, okay? But when we're trying to be transparent and cover it up, not only are we covering up the problem, we're covering up the solution to the problem. So we're really hurting our marriage twofold. And so we've got to be honest. We've got to be open because it provides a clear roadmap for marital adjustment. Letter B, because dishonesty or the covering of truth in some way is painfully offensive. Now, it's a huge withdrawal when you are dishonest in any relationship, but especially in marriage. When you and I withhold information in our marriage, that is a very bad idea. Why? Because when a spouse begins to become misleading or downright distributing false information, it leads to disaster in the marriage relationship. Dishonesty is one of the most destructive habits a spouse can have in marriage. I'm going to say that again. Dishonesty is one of the most destructive habits a spouse can have in marriage. And I just want to encourage every husband and every wife in this room, don't do it. Don't be dishonest. It's not worth it. Whatever it is you're trying to cover up, I'm telling you right now, it's going to come back tenfold like a monster. Because we think, oh, we're going to skirt it because it's going to be covered. I'm telling you, what's in the ground is going to come up. That seed that is sown is going to reap a harvest. What we sow, we're going to reap. These are biblical principles. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8:21, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. Ephesians 4:25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Certainly that would apply to our bride, to our spouse, to our wife. And so we want to make sure that we understand dishonesty has no place in the marriage relationship. We must insist on honesty and openness. Then let her see, because it meets an important emotional need. Did you know that a woman finds it easy to fall in love with a man who is radically honest with him? Guys, we all have this perception like we can't be totally honest because if we were totally honest, we'd be vulnerable. If we were vulnerable, we would be weak. If we were weak, she would think less of us. But can I tell you something? Did you know the exact opposite is true? It's a weird thing. But when you're honest with your wife at a moment where you feel like, all right, I could just walk out the room and not even open the door. I feel that small. You know what I mean? Did you know that the recourse, the response is not this spirit of, oh, I can't believe, but rather it's this closeness because there's been true transparency, honesty, and openness. It meets an important emotional need in her heart. Transparency is one of the most important qualities in a strong and successful marriage. Nothing should be hidden from your partner. Your spouse has the right to know who you really are. And the Bible says in Luke 6:31, and as ye would that men do to you, do ye also to them likewise. Now, one author said it this way, you should reveal to your spouse information about yourself as much as you know. Your thoughts, your feelings, your habits, your likes, your dislikes, your past history, your daily activities, and your future plans. Basically, nothing is off limits. Everything should be known. There should be total transparency. honesty and openness. I want to break this down into four parts for us to understand. First of all, there needs to be emotional honesty. What does that mean? Guys, we need to learn how to reveal our thoughts, feelings, likes, and dislikes to our spouse. Now, most guys do not speak in emotional overtones, okay? When you ask us how our day was, fine is a perfectly acceptable answer. And it includes every emotion anyone could possibly have in any particular day. Guys are not necessarily good about, you know, this is what happened, and this is why I think it happened, and this is how I felt about the way that it happened, and this is the way that I wanted to feel about it, but it didn't work that way. So then I was thinking about feeling this other way. I mean, you know, it's exhausting. But it's a need, all right? So you're going to have to learn to speak a language that doesn't come natural. There needs to be emotional honesty and understanding the importance of expressing those things to your wife and doing what you can to meet each other's need in this area and to satisfy that particular need. Now, any good marriage that is going to sustain the test of time is going to have to go through some adjustments. And this area of emotional honesty, something you've got to learn and develop and grow, but God will bless it. Then secondly, there needs to be historical honesty. And that is revealing information about your personal history. I'm often asked in marriage counseling, should the skeletons in the closet ever be revealed? And to give a very short answer, I usually say this. There needs to be full disclosure without every detail. That's kind of a quick answer to that question. What do I mean by that? Here's what I mean by that. Yes, I think your spouse has the right to know absolutely everything about you in your past. I think it's a mistake to withhold. You say, well, good night, if they knew everything about me, it would ruin our relationship. That's funny. I've never known honesty to ruin a relationship. But in my short experience working with families, many, many times I have seen dishonesty tear one apart. So in all the time I've been doing this, I've never seen honesty as the culprit for a marriage hitting the destructive zone. But many times I have seen something pop up into a relationship that was unknown, and that dishonesty unravels that relationship so fast it's hard to keep track. So I encourage honesty, historical honesty, being honest about who you are and maybe some things about your past. Really, no area of your life should be kept a secret. Your spouse has the right to know all of those things. And you say, well, they would never trust me again if they knew all those things. Listen to me. Honesty is the best answer. Again, God will bless the honesty in a way that will surprise you. It will strengthen the relationship and bring you closer. But avoid dishonesty because it destroys every single time. So there needs to be emotional honesty. There needs to be historical honesty. Thirdly, there needs to be current honesty. You've got to reveal information about your day. In great marriages, they become so interdependent that sharing a daily schedule is essential to their ability to accomplish life. But in poor, weak marriages, spouses are really reluctant to reveal their schedules because often they are engaging activities that they don't want their spouse to know about. So it's always this mystery. You know, what is he doing? Where is he at? What is she doing? Where is she at? What's going on? And it's always this, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure. He said he'll be home 14 hours ago. I'm not sure. You know what that means or whatever. And it's just kind of always this, I don't know. And I'm just telling you because in his design, we're in the business of making strong marriages. This is what this class is all about. And one of the factors of having a really strong marriage is having this passion for, hey, we want to be currently honest. We want our spouse to know what it is that's happening in our life at all times. And we need to be thorough about our current activities and what's happening. Why? Because it helps to eliminate doubts. Now, you want to make it easy, both husbands and wives, but primarily speaking to the husbands this morning, you want to make it easy for your spouse to reach you, certainly in the case of an emergency. But, and I know some of you have top secret clearance and you can't take some things in some place. I get all that. But as much as you can, you want to be accessible. You want your spouse to be able to reach you. You want them to be able to make contact in case something happens. And can I just remind all of us something this morning? It's a very simple principle. The easiest way to stay out of trouble is to shine a bright light on everything you do. So what I want to do is I want to take a light, and that's not very bright, but I want to take a light and I want to shine it on everything I do. I want everything I do to be known I don't want it to be secretive. I don't want it to be, well, you know, they think I'm doing this when I'm actually doing that. No, 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 no. The best way to stay out of trouble, the best way to stay accountable is to shine a bright light on everything that you're doing. And by the way, don't shy away from this idea of, well, you know, she's not my mom and I'm not going to be accountable and that's not for me. Listen, that's the wrong spirit and approach for a godly husband. Because godly men don't mind accountability. It doesn't bother them at all. In fact, Bartanto, the godly men that I know, they want accountability. Because they know there's an enemy that is real. My wife and I prayed through the class list last night. We prayed over the families being baptized this morning and in the core class this morning. And by the time I got to the church at 7 o'clock this morning, I'd gotten three text messages. Two from families in our class that spent the night in the ER and a third that was sick and wasn't coming. And you know what I interpret that to be? Spiritual warfare. Because we're trying to accomplish something. We're trying to see people reached and growing in their faith. And you know who hates that with a tenacity? Satan. And you know what he's doing? He's trying to fight. And when you're in the midst of trying to do good for God, Satan's going to fight. You need accountability. Shining a bright light in everything you do. So it's got to be current honesty. And then number four, there's got to be future honesty. You've got to reveal your thoughts and plans regarding the future. Now, guys, we've all been in the same predicament where something was coming up and our wife said something like, honey, did you know about that? And we weren't thinking we didn't know about it. The silence was because we were thinking how we were going to explain how we knew about it, but didn't tell her that we knew about it. So we're coming up with some great reason, you know, like I was in the middle of praying when somebody mentioned that to me, and I just was so focused in my relationship with the Lord that I didn't mention that to you, but, you know, whatever. I mean, we're just trying to come up with some really good reason why we knew something and she didn't know. We've all been there. Maybe I'm just preaching to me this morning. I have definitely been there. I am preaching to the choir about that. We've all frustrated our spouse. Something coming up we knew about, we didn't tell them. Let me give you a quick tip. I want to encourage you and your wife. Share a calendar. Now, this has been my one defense sometimes with Susanna, because sometimes she'll say, honey, did you know about that? And sometimes I'll just smile and say, did you look at the calendar? Now, that's not an out-and-out excuse, because I need to do better in communicating. But we do share a calendar. And one of the things I know that I'm supposed to do is I've got to get stuff on the calendar. She's got to know, hey, we're doing this. We're having, you know, it would be nice if she knew we're having 40 people over. If not, we're ordering Little Caesars, and it's going to be great, you know, whatever. But So you got to communicate about stuff coming up, and a good practical tip is to share a calendar together to know what's coming up and to communicate. By the way, have a talk dates during the week where you're talking about what's coming up and plan your time together. We've talked a lot about good marriage is spending time together. When are you going to talk? When are you going to do a recreational activity? When are you going to go soul winning together? When are you going to do things together in that way? So there's great esteem for this. Quickly, number two, the eliminators of honesty and openness. What are some actions that punish this idea of honesty and openness and transparency in marriage? Let me give you four very quickly. Letter A, selfish demands. Wives, can I just tell you something? Primarily, I'm challenging the husbands, but wives, can I mention something to you? If your husband is faced with a fight every time he reveals the truth, he's probably going to keep his thoughts to himself. And I just want to encourage you, bite the lip. Follow grandma's rule. If you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. And if truth in the marriage is confronted with selfish demands, I'm just telling you, it's not going to be easy, okay? So don't do it. The Bible says in Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. So no selfish demands. Let it be disrespectful judgments. When the truth is told in the relational, in the marriage relationship, and then there's a disrespectful judgment. Well, I can't believe you see it that way. I can't believe you said that or whatever. I mean, it's just disrespectful to the core. It's a judgmental spirit. Hey, there's going to be a few road bumps to an honest, transparent, open relationship. The Bible does say, speak the truth in love. So there's got to be an arena in your marriage, no pun intended, where this conversation can be had without these disrespectful judgments. Remember what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Hey, if honesty is always met with disrespect, it's going to be tough to have an environment of honesty. That's just the truth. So what should we do, Brother Rule? Be Christ-like. When you're communicating with your spouse and truth is being spoken, respond like Christ. Every time you think about your response, whether it's the volume or the demeanor or the spirit or whatever, just pause in any moment and think this thought. Am I like Christ right now? Am I like Christ? Avoiding disrespectful judgments. Letter C, angry outburst. James 1, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Why? For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Good night, Brother Rule. I've let my husband have it and he still hasn't changed. Well, ma'am, I wonder why. Because the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. An angry outburst is not going to help. It's going to hurt. And if there's to be an environment of honesty and openness, then there has to be a refusal of anger. There has to be a control of one's spirit. No angry outbursts. Letter D, no dwelling on mistakes. Philippians 3, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said, listen, I've got a past. Good night, I used to murder Christians, but I'm leaving that in the past and I'm living for God and I'm serving God. And there may be some relationships in this room that there's a whole past that we could consider. And by the way, it should be revealed and it should be talked through, but then it should be left where it belongs and we've got to move on. And as we communicate in marriage, it can't be every conversation we bring the same stuff up from 5, 10, and 15 years ago. Fix it, bury it, move on. Amen. Don't dwell on past mistakes. You say, I don't know how in the world I could ever do that. Can I tell you something in love? Ask God to help you. Because when I go to God and I ask Him to forgive, He does. And you know what He does after that? He puts it as far as the east is from the west. He buries it in the depths of the sea. He washes it white as snow, and He promises to remember it no more. That's what God does for me. And that's why I like going to Him. And if we would learn that and apply that in our marriages, we would open up an environment that's asking for honesty and openness, because we deal with stuff the way it should be dealt with. I'm not saying don't deal with it, but I'm saying deal with it and then leave it and move on, not dwelling on past mistakes. Honesty is the key. A woman stopped by unannounced to her recently married son's home. The mother-in-law just kind of dropped in on this newlywed couple, unexpectedly rang the doorbell. Nobody answered. She jiggled the door handle and it was open. So as only mother-in-laws can do, she just walked right in. Well, when she did, she noticed something very unusual. The house was dim. There was soft romantic music playing on the speakers. There were candles burning. There were rose petals on the floor. She kind of began wandering through the house and wondering what in the world is going on. And she walked into her son's living room, and there was her new daughter-in-law laying there on the couch, naked. They both looked at each other with complete shock. The mother-in-law said, "What in the world are you doing? What's happening here?" The daughter-in-law, completely embarrassed, said, "Well, I'm sorry. I'm wearing my love dress. Your son loves it when I wear my love dress." Well, it was extremely awkward, and the mother-in-law got out of there. But then she was driving home, and on the drive home, she had a thought. So she got home, and she dimly lit the light. She put on the soft romantic music. She lit some candles. She got some rose petals out, and she undressed and laid herself on the couch. The husband got home after work and kind of wandered in the house and shocked by the lighting and the candles and the music and all of that, and wondering what in the world is going on, and turned the corner, walked in the living room. There was his wife on the couch naked. And he looked at his wife and he said, "Honey, what are you doing?" And she said, "Sweetheart, I'm wearing my love dress." And she said, "Sweetheart, it needs ironing." And now, yes, there should be honesty and there should be openness, but it should be with discernment, okay? I haven't been able to use that one in a long time. And I saw that one last night, and I didn't even ask my wife if I could because I was afraid she'd say no. So I just did it anyway. So here we go. So now, how do we have this environment of honesty and openness? Thirdly, I want us to see the effects of honesty and openness. Now, if we will insist on honest, open, transparency in our marriages, then we will build trust, and trust will galvanize, be the bedrock of the relationship. What will we see happening in our relationship? Here it is, letter A. It will enable security. A wife will feel secure when she feels like she can totally trust her husband, that the information coming is accurate, that it is honest, that it is transparent, that they have a foundation they can trust and they can build upon. Every woman in this room has a common need, and that is they have to trust their husband. And so every man, I am challenging this morning, to be a man of honesty and openness. One who is articulating the truth within the marriage relationship. Why? Because it's going to give her security. It's going to give her peace in her heart that passeth all understanding. Letter B, it establishes closeness. The typical woman needs to be able to communicate with her husband. She needs to know how he's feeling. She needs to know that they're close. She needs to know that they're sharing a bond that nobody else on the planet shares together. And with no trust, there's no real intimate conversation. And the marriage begins to deteriorate. But when you have trust and you have that intimate conversation and you can talk about anything, it's incredible the closeness that is established within the marriage relationship. In fact, it gets so strong that the marriage feels like there's no problem we cannot solve because the closeness, that bond is just so tight. Where did that come from? Honesty, openness, and transparency. There was a foundation there that something could be built upon. And then letter C, what does this do? It evicts privacy. Transparency is one of the most important qualities of a successful marriage. And by the way, there's no privacy. And can I say, marriage is the one relationship, there's no privacy. I'm not talking about you can't close the door to go to the bathroom, all right? But what I'm talking about is, listen, there's no part in your life that you can hide from your wife, from your husband. You're not allowed to put up off-limit signs in marriage. It doesn't fit. It doesn't work. There's no privacy. It's not his and hers. It's ours. Everything jointly shared, jointly owned, jointly managed. What do I mean by privacy? I mean not keeping any part of yourself hidden from your spouse. Can I say it in the best way I know how? If there's something about you your spouse doesn't know, you're wrong. Period. That can't be in a strong relationship. Privacy has to be something of the past. It's got to be open. It's got to be honest. It has to be transparent. The Bible says in Matthew 19, for this cause shall man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twain, but of one flesh. What, therefore, God had joined together, let no man put asunder. And so it is imperative that we have honesty, openness, and transparency in the marriage relationship, that we're building something strong, that we are establishing this credibility. She can trust me. We're building something special. We can talk about anything. We're closer than we've ever been. We're not hiding parts of our life from her or him, hoping they never find out. It's just, we're real. And that'll bring a great strength to the relationship. Now, I want to take this home. Open your bulletin and find this week's discussion sheet, if you will. It's entitled Week 6 Discussion Questions. Let me go over these real fast and we're going to be done, okay? Week 6 Discussion Questions. And some of you, this is your first time. You're like, what in the world's happening here? Let me explain it, okay? What we've tried to do during this series is help the lessons go home. Because honestly, we're talking about them here, but you know what's better? When you're talking about them at home. So how can we do that? This is a great tool and a great idea. Here's what I want to do. The first section is questions for her. So everybody gets a little something to do this week. There's three questions for her that I'd like her to answer. Then there's two questions for him that I'd like him to answer. And then there's one question you do together. And then there's date discussed. Now, because the title of the lesson was Exceeding Her Need for Honesty and Openness, fellas, I'm putting this on you, okay? So you initiate. Hey, sweetheart, will you fill that out? I'll fill my part out. And then, hey, can we go to coffee? Can we do lunch? Can we do dinner? Can we put the kids to bed one night and talk? You help create the time this week and talk about it. And just take some time to discuss what could we do in our marriage that would help us be more honest, more open, more transparent so that we can be stronger. Because there is a real enemy who wants to tear every marriage in this room apart. And if we're going to sustain that kind of attack, we better be ready. And this is going to help us talk about some things in preparation of that. So let's do that this week. Then we'll be right back together next Sunday for our next lesson. I'm excited about it as we continue in our series. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for the challenge to be honest, to be open, and to be transparent, especially in our marriages. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to embrace that challenge, to live that truth, and our marriages be stronger as a result. Help us this week to take this lesson, take it home, to talk about it with our spouse, to make adjustments that would make us better, more like you, and make our marriage stronger. Bless our families, those in here, those in the core class, those being baptized this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd bless each and every one. Watch over them this week and then bring them back safely next Sunday is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.